The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clav for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is the fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clav. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clav.
This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clav, and I'm Stan Clav. And tonight, I'm privileged to have with me, no stranger to the show, Rabbi Daniel Brody. And as the year sort of comes to an end, and we're looking at new beginnings, it seems as if Cyril Ramaphosa will come next week and tell us that we're going to go down to level one. It's a big possibility. I'm not sure about that, but that's what apparently that's the information that's being leaked. But let's talk about Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi, welcome. You're always welcome on the show. And important time of the year for us. So we need some spiritual input and some advice. And how do we conduct ourselves? What do we look forward to? What should we do? Should we go to shul? Shouldn't we go to shul, et cetera, et cetera? So let's fill in the gaps.
Hi, Stan, and good evening to all the listeners. It is an amazing time of the year because it's the month of Elul. And if you understand Torah properly, you'll know that the month of Elul is the most powerful month where you're able to achieve huge things in your spirituality and in your growth. So, we've still got about a week or so left to Rosh Hashanah, the last week of the year we're about to enter into. But you should know that Elul, this time in particular, is a very special month. And so the most important thing to keep in mind at this stage is not to waste the opportunity. You know, I don't know if you remember, but there was once a advert and a competition called the Reggie's Rush. I think if you won the competition, you were given 2 minutes to run through Reggie's, the toy store.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, and you could choose whatever you want within those 2 minutes. And that's a little bit like Elul, because in those 2 minutes, you can either run through the Reggie shop and go quickly to the most expensive items that you would never ever be able to buy, the ones you were jealous your rich friends had. And you'll quickly fill up the trolley with all the most amazing things, and you'll come out and you'll be so happy. But if you're not a chochem, what you'll do is you'll run and see the chewing gum and the sweets and the chocolates, you know, there that they have at the till right as you come in. And you'll fill up with all of that, and after the 2 minutes, you'll walk out and you'll think, oh, what a lost opportunity. That's a little bit like what Elul is. Elul is the opportunity to grow, and Hashem wants us, he wants to help us at this time. So that's, you should know that it's a very powerful time. You try to do something in Elul, you're going to get extra koyach. You're going to get extra help from Hashem. That's point number one.
When you say try to do something in the form of giving, or I thought Elul was a time of giving, not taking.
No, what well, we want to take is mitzvahs.
Right.
We when it comes to other people's materialism, so that's when you can be a giver. But when it comes to spirituality, you got to be a taker. You got to take as much Torah. You got to take as much mitzvahs that you can possibly get. Because life is very short, and that's what I mean, that it's like the Reggie's Rush. You've got to fill up your cart with lots and lots of mitzvahs. Doesn't just mean the mitzvah of tzedakah or giving in terms of that. What it means is fill up in Torah, in learning Torah, fill up with different mitzvahs that you can improve on, and that's the best way to actually come into Rosh Hashanah.
So it's essentially a way of preparing yourself.
Yeah. I think we need to understand what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is the day that we make Hashem king. We pronounce Hashem King. If you look at all the tefillahs, all the prayers of Rosh Hashanah, there are two words that come to mind. They come up over and over. Such actually that if you missed out that word in the next 10 days following Rosh Hashanah, you may have to repeat your tefillah. Your tefillah is lacking. And that is the word Melech, the word King. And the other word is Chaim, is life. What is it about these two words that really show what Rosh Hashanah is? The answer is that on Rosh Hashanah, we're standing and telling the whole world, and we're telling whoever's around, that Hashem is the King, and we're telling Hashem that He's the King. But more than anything else, we're telling ourselves that Hashem is the King. All the time you're going to hear the word Melech. What's the pshat? What's the explanation? It is to implant in our hearts that Hashem is the King. You see, a lot of us know that He's the King. But in a certain sense, our lives have a lot of distractions. And in a certain sense, those distractions have become our King throughout the year. That's really what Rosh Hashanah is supposed to define. It's supposed to define that I've a little bit gone away from who's the real King, and I've sort of appointed a lot of other priorities in my life as being the King. Rosh Hashanah is the day we coronate Hashem as King, but not just King of the world, but the King of our world. That's the whole idea of Rosh Hashanah. And if you want to coronate Hashem as the King, so then you need to do two things. Number one, you have to start with gratitude to the King. You have to think to yourself, how many potatoes did you eat this year, Stan?
and unfortunately, under lockdown, too many.
Right. Okay. How many cokes? How many? You know how much Hashem has looked after you this year, right? And we know, and it's unfortunately, it's a little bit too personal, but we know not everybody made it this year. We have to be very grateful that we're able to stand up on Rosh Hashanah and say, thank you, Hashem. Okay, maybe it wasn't the easiest year, but whoa, I'm alive. Well, there's no greater gift than being alive. Then you can do Torah. Then you can do mitzvahs. Then you can really be alive. So the first point is gratitude. And then the second thing is you have to do something with that gratitude. You have to say, okay, I'm grateful to you, Hashem. You're my King, but now I'm recommitting to you. You know, there's no point in going through Rosh Hashanah and not having some plan ahead. You got to have a plan. Jake White was a very, you know, I'm the last person to actually talk about rugby, right, as an expert. But one thing I do remember that he said, right, was a very interesting thing. He says, if you fail to plan, so then you plan to fail, right? Yeah. And it's such an important point, because if you're going into Rosh Hashanah without a plan, you're going to fail, and you're going to come back next Rosh Hashanah empty, empty as you were this Rosh Hashanah. You've got to have a plan. What am I going to change this Rosh Hashanah, right, for the next year? How am I going to become bigger? That is the second point. The first point is gratitude. You work out. Think about it. A whole year of having eyesight. A whole year of having hearing, of having a brain that works. It's an amazing thing. You can thank Hashem. You see, stand up and say, my King, you're my King. Look at what you've given me this year. And every year for the last however long. And then you got to do something with it. You know, you got to say, all right, one second. You don't keep Shabbos, you got to start keeping Shabbos. Something's got to change this year. You don't keep kosher, you got to up the game. You learn a little bit of Torah, you got to learn more Torah, right? It's got to be a different year. You got to become bigger. You got to become bigger this year. So that's really what Rosh Hashanah is. Rosh Hashanah is the day where we coronate Hashem as the King of the world, but even more so our King. And you got to have gratitude. Start with the gratitude. Think all of what Hashem's given you in life, and life itself didn't need to make you, then He made you. And now take that impetus and that inspiration, and then actually make a decision. You've got to make a decision. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be a bigger person this year, And I'm going to end up, you know, by next year, Rosh Hashanah, as a whole different person.
But aren't these New Year's resolutions kind of in the moment? And then when you've made that resolution, how do you hang on to it? I mean, how do you follow through? Because that, I think, is the key. People make resolutions, all good intentions. And on day two, you've signed the contract, but now you've got to fulfill the contract. So how do you maintain that? How do you make it sustainable?
So that's a great point, and I'm so happy that you raised it. There's two things that you need in order to take a plan and make it happen when it comes to Yiddishkeit. Number one is that you have to be aware of that plan every day. So you have to write it down. This is my plan. I want to be keeping Shabbos this year. How am I going to do it? I better move closer to the shul. Whatever the case is, I better, you know, find a way to keep Shabbos. I better learn the halachas of Shabbos, just for example, right? And every day you got to look, you got to study that piece of paper and make it your business. You know, you don't let your business go. You've got a great plan to have a great business. And then what, on day two, you stop? No. You got a plan. You got to look at that plan every day. How am I going? You have to gauge it. So the first thing is you have to actually take that plan and have an awareness of it every single day, right? In a lot of cases, you might want to change one character trait. Let's say a person feels that he gets angry often. You don't want to come to next Rosh Hashanah and think, well, I'm still the same angry person. You want to have done something about it. So every day you've got to have a piece of paper, and every night you've got to look, well, was I better today than I was yesterday? And you have to gauge. You have to look at your business. You have to make it your business and look at it like a business. So the first is awareness and constant thinking of it, constantly be on your mind. And the second thing is that everybody needs a mentor in Judaism. You don't have a mentor in Torah, in growth, in spiritual growth, you're going nowhere. Because nobody will grow. People don't grow unless they've got a guide. You know, books are great, but you need context and you need to talk out things because, you know, you have personal situations. So you need a guide. You know, sometimes it might be a rov, sometimes it might be a good friend who understands Yiddishkeit and who knows Torah. But you need a guide. So those are really the two things I can suggest. Number one, write it down and look at that plan every night and see, well, I wanted to, am I taking steps to keep Shabbos or to keep mitzvahs better? Which mitzvah did I choose? Is it better than yesterday? Or, you know, whichever trait you decided to take on to fix. You know, we've only got one shot at life. You know, so, you know, if you don't fix it, so then you're going to remain an angry person or a jealous person or a dishonest person right till the day you go. So you have to have a plan every day. Look at that plan and see, am I better today than I was yesterday? And then, of course, you need a mentor. You need someone that's going to push you, guide you, and that way you'll succeed.
Now, in the business world, first of all, I once read a book on management, and the book on management began by saying, books of management are the road to hell. So that was the first thing. The second thing is that in business, you know, the all these catchphrases and the things that people put out, the business speak, they talk about key performance indicators. So you need to pick one key performance indicator, or is it a spread, or do you limit it yourself? Do you spread yourself, or do you really just focus on one aspect?
Look, you have three relationships in life. Okay. And in each of those three relationships in life, you have to try and perfect, you have to fix them. So I'll just explain to you as follows. The first is the easiest one to understand is the relationship between you and the people that you engage with other people, right? So if you've got jealousy, or if you've got hatred, or if you've got problems of anger and so forth, so you have to work on that, okay? So just take one of those things and decide, I want to become a bigger person in the next year. It's just foolish. It's just stupid to be an angry person. So take on one thing and decide, I'm not going to become an angry person. Now don't leave it there, because as you said, then the next day you wake up, somebody bothers you, and that's the end of your plan. The way to do it is that you need a guide, and one of the guides is to get a book that talks about anger. If you're reading about anger every day, just 5 minutes a day on anger every day, I can guarantee you, you will be one step closer every day to not getting angry. Same with Lashon Hara. There's only one way to stop speaking Lashon Hara, and that is to read about Lashon Hara every day. If you learn the laws of Lashon Hara every day, just for 2 minutes every day, guaranteed, no shaila, you will be speaking less Lashon Hara. So it's this vote of awareness. You have to have awareness. Take one thing, maybe two things, and make that your priority for the year, in that relationship. That's the first relationship, is between us and other people. The second relationship
he who gossips to you will gossip about you.
Okay, it could be. But the main thing is that if you want to improve in Lashon Hara, if you want to improve in not speaking Lashon Hara, you've got to learn the laws every day. It doesn't matter how often you've learned them. You need to keep on learning them. I know in my house, we've gone through a number of sforim of books on the laws of Lashon Hara. I even wrote one, to try and simplify it. Because once it's on your mind, you'll speak, there's no shayla, you're going to speak less Lashon Hara. So that's the first relationship. The second relationship is between us and Hashem. Right? We just said Hashem is our king, and Hashem loves us like nothing else in the world. He's closer to us than life itself, than the very air that I'm breathing. Hashem is closer to me than the very air that we breathe. And He just wants the best for us, and He wants that we should have an elevated and enhanced life, both in this world and in the next world. And so therefore He gave us a whole structure how to do it. It's called mitzvahs. So you have to see, how am I going to become bigger in mitzvahs? So take a couple of mitzvahs, okay, and see, how am I going to become bigger, right? I'm not saying you turn the corner, you know, straight away on the first day, because that may be too much, and you also have to take into account the people around you. But what I'm saying to you is that you have to have a plan. You've got to take on two or three things, not just one thing. It has to be a couple of things, a couple of mitzvahs this year, which Hashem has told you that you have to do. Shabbos. Shabbos is possibly the biggest, that's the heart of Yiddishkeit. Right, if a person keeps Shabbos, has a plan to keep Shabbos by the end of the year, or by the middle of the year, or whatever it is, right, he is a different Yid. He's a completely different Jew. Hashem looks at him in a different way. His life will be much more happy in this world, and it certainly is going to be happier in the next world. There's nothing to talk about. So that's in the relationship between us and Hashem. And there's one other final relationship, and that is the relationship between us and our very selves. In other words, there's certain traits that we have. How do we relate to ourselves? We look at ourselves and we see some things are good, some things are not so good, right? With the good things, I've got to choose one good thing and say, how am I going to become bigger in this good thing? You know, let's say a person's a creative person. So how can I use my creativity to help other people, to help the world, right? How can I use my discipline? Let's say a person's disciplined. So then he has to use that trait and become bigger in that trait. And then on the flip side, any cons, any negatives, he has to take two negatives and try and work on them. And the best way to work on them is Torah. There's no shortcuts over here. Torah, Torah, Torah. Person learns more Torah every day with an aim that Torah is going to improve him. There's no doubt he is going to be a more improved person. There's no shaila. If a person, it's a ma'aral be'etzim, really. That if a person learns Torah with an aim, that Torah is going to humble him and fix him, so then it will. That's just, so those are your three relationships. You take two or three things in each relationship and write it down and say, this is my plan. How am I going to get through it? And there's plenty of sforim out there. Right? You want a book on how to become less angry, how to become less jealous. Go to the bookshop. Guaranteed you'll find lots of books. I'm talking about Jewish books. As for him that discuss it, you want a good book on how to keep Shabbos. I happen to know one. And right, there's a great book called Learn Shabbos in just 3 minutes a day. You want to learn how to keep Shabbos?
I wonder who the author of that was.
they say the book's a good book, but the author, I don't know. Right? And with Torah, you got to find a coach, you got to find a mentor, someone who's going to teach you how to learn, how to grow. Because when you break your teeth in real Torah, if you really struggle in Torah, you're going to become a different person. So that's really what you're aiming for in this Rosh Hashanah. You can't just go through Rosh Hashanah as lip service to Hashem. You have to actually think. You have to be genuine. And it's brutal. It's very hard this. You have to be brutal and say, you know, Daniel, what am I going to become in the next year? How am I going to become bigger? And you have to analyze yourself and see, well, you know, how am I going to do it? And Hashem will help you. There's no two ways. We have a klal, we have a principle that if you want to do something and grow closer to Hashem, He's going to help you.
But you know that we live in an age of instant gratification. I mean, people don't have the patience or the time. We're very busy people. How do we get into this where, you know, this is going to take time because, you know, some of us can't commit beyond tomorrow.
Yeah, so you don't even...
I'm making it hard for you.
No, these are such good questions, Stan. These are questions that people are asking. But the answer is that you don't need to look. You need to look in general at what do I want to become by the end of this coming year. But on a day-to-day basis, you have to just say, how did I do today? Every night before you go to sleep, just write down, how did I do, or think at least, how did I do today? You know, and then was it better than yesterday? And then see, okay, how can I do better tomorrow? And look at that list tomorrow and see, how did I go? The vote over here is, it's not that we're trying to jump so high from the bottom rung right to the top rung. We're trying to go by levels, right? A slower and gradual is more healthy, right? But it has to be get going, you know? The people that say just do one thing this year are not quite right because that one thing doesn't really get going. The whole view has to change. The view has to be, I want to be a bigger person this year. So one has to just... You have to be involved in Torah Sforim. You have to be involved with a Torah personality, a Torah coach, a mentor. And with that, you'll have some guidance. But it can't just be pie in the sky. It has to be like a business. You have to have a plan and look at that plan and have a look each night. Did I do better?
So we're going to go to shul and we're going to daven at home. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, what it means, you know, each level, because obviously there's limitations right now, unfortunately. But it does also present opportunities, I think, in a certain sense. But from a point of view of you're going to shul and you're going to make this commitment, it's a very big step for a person to go from, you know, ground zero, so to speak, to get into Torah every day. I mean, you need a kickoff point. You need to make that commitment. You need to be instructed or, as you say, mentored. You know, if you go to, you're not really learning Torah. If you do Mincha Maariv and Shachris and all that, you're not really learning Torah. You're just going there, you know, for Kaddish or, you know, for the daily prayer, but that's not a commitment to Torah. Torah is a whole different thing, and you need to be able to be guided, and you need to know what to start with. You can't just delve into the first book you find. You also can't take out a Torah and read it yourself.
Right.
So where's the kickoff point?
Look, the first thing to get clear is that you have to have the objective. You have to have the ambition. You've got to have an ambition to become something bigger. You know, Hashem made us. And He gave us an opportunity called life. What are you davening for life on Rosh Hashanah for? What are you davening for? Just that your heart's going to be beating? Is that all we're davening for? I'll give you a proof from the Gemara that that's the explanation. The Gemara says that people who are tzaddikim, who are righteous, are signed in for life straight away. And those who are evil, the Rashoim, are signed in for death straight away. Now this cannot be literal. It's impossible that it's only literal. Why? Because we don't find that tzaddikim live out every single year. We don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive, or the Rambam is still alive, or the Vilna Gaon is still alive, or the Chofetz Chaim is still alive. Or even in this year, I can tell you of tzaddikim that died. So what happened to Rosh Hashanah? that they were signed in for life. And what happened to, why is it that we find that some Rishonim, evil people, Arafat, why didn't he die on the spot 20 years before? I'm just giving an example. So that can't be the meaning, that cannot be the meaning of the Gemara. This is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. But the pshat is, the explanation is, that when you're davening for life, you're not just davening that your heart's beating, that you're going to be alive. You need to daven that you're going to have a year that is alive. Alive with Torah, alive with mitzvahs, and alive with growth. Right? And if a person's not davening for that, then, I don't know, then he ends up with, he might live the year. He met Hashem, he'll for sure, yeah, hopefully he'll live the year. But it'll be a flat dead year. You don't want a flat dead year. You want to come back next Rosh Hashanah as a bigger person. In a bigger person in these three relationships. And that's really what the aim is. And so once a person, you have to keep, you got to get this into your head. Every person that hears this has to get there, get this into the head. Life is very short. It's very, very short, and we have to make the most of it. And so Hashem's given us an opportunity, and you got to chop that opportunity. Person only lives, you know, please God, 120 plus. But it's limited. At the end of the day, it's limited. This is the only chance you can do mitzvahs. Only chance. Mishneh in Pirkei Avos says that even one moment of mitzvahs in this world, tshuva and ma'asim tovim in this world, is bigger than the whole of the next world. How can it be? The whole of the next world is infinite. The answer is that this is your only opportunity to do it. This is the entrance hall. This is where you got to do it. Right? Just like Shabbos. You rest on Shabbos. But if you don't prepare before Shabbos, you're not going to have anything to eat on Shabbos. This is the preparation. This is where we work. This is where we have to do things in this world. So I'm saying to you that you have to have this ambition, this objective to become bigger, to make the most of your life. And that's the reason why we daven for life on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just that the heart's beating. It's that it's a year that's going to be alive.
So when you come to Shul, you're on, this is day one. We're going to go there. It'll be next Shabbos, not this week, the following week. We're going to come to Shabbos and are we going to be at home or are we going to be at Shul? Mm-hmm. So there are options. I mean, some of the Shuls are opening and hopefully in South Africa, certainly you'll be able to, some people will be able to attend. They've made it as wide as possible at Sydenham where I go to Shul. But other Shuls have also made the effort to try and accommodate as many people as possible. So, if you go to shul, it's pretty cut and dried. You go to shul, you follow the service, they'll take out the Torah, et cetera, et cetera. When you're at home, what do you do?
So, when you're at home, the best thing again, you have to plan, right? Because, you know, if you're not going to plan, then you're going to be rather flat and a little bit confused. When Rosh Hashanah comes, right? You have to get a machzor, right? Which is the prayer book, obviously, for Yom Tov. Yes. And go through that. Yeah, you got to go through that before Rosh Hashanah so you know what's ahead of you. Always got to think ahead. Always thinking ahead, right? And so, therefore, look at that machzor and go through it, okay? Now, on a practical basis, there's four things that I would suggest that people do. Number one is that you make the morning bracha. I'm talking about in the morning, right? The night is pretty straightforward, but I'm talking about the morning. The morning is that you say the morning brachas, okay? And those morning brachas, about 18 brachas, where you thank Hashem for giving us the Torah, you thank Hashem that you are able to go to the toilet, you thank Hashem for having eyesight, thank Hashem for being a yid, and so forth. There's about 18 brachas in the first 5 pages of every siddur, or the first 5 pages of the Shachris, you know, of the Machzor, those brachas you can still say, even if you're a novice, it's not hard to say those brachas. That's number one. Number two, you need to say the Shema, because Shema is a mitzvah every day. To say it in the morning, to say it in the evening. When you say Shema Yisrael, what you're saying is that Hashem is the God of the world and is our God, and I'm committing to Him. That's important. It's not just a statement, it's a commitment. You're committing to Hashem that you're going to serve Hashem and get closer to Hashem. That's important. That's Shema Yisrael. So those are the first two things. Now what we have to look at is what happens by Shachris and Musaf. You see, let me go back one step, Stan, and that is, what's the value of going to shul? There's two values of going to shul. Number one, I'm saying from a halachic point of view, I'm not talking about the social aspect. I'm talking about...
You're talking about the stock exchange and so on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And anyway, this year, there's social distancing. So anyway, there's all of that sort of cut out. But outside of the social aspect, yeah, because there's no real source for the social aspect in Torah, in halacha. But from a halachic point of view, there are two advantages of davening in a shul. Number one is that you're davening in a shul, which is a place of kedusha, a place of sanctity. And so Hashem, in a certain sense, listens to a tefillah in a shul, in a certain sense, better than he does in other places. If you can go there. If you can't go there, you can't. Well, there's nothing you can do. So the Gemara says, "En tefillah el mamakom rina," a tefillah is best in a place where there's that's the place where they sing to Hashem, which is a shul. So that's the one advantage. The second advantage is that you're with a minion. And that's a very powerful advantage, because when you're done with a minion, you don't just have your own merits, you have the merits of the whole congregation. So it's almost like your tefillah gets almost raised up, not just like your one, but the other 10 or 9 people with you, or the other, whatever, 49 people with you this year, right? So that gets raised up not just as one separate tefillah, but it actually comes out as a lot of tefillahs. So it has extra power. Now those are all, almost in a sense, they're luxuries. If you can do them, you definitely should do them. But if you can't do them, you can't do them, right? It doesn't take away from the basic mitzvah of tefillah, which is to daven to Hashem. So when a person's at home and he can't go, let's say he can't go to shul because he's not going to drive to shul, because Rosh Hashanah is certainly one day you don't drive to shul, okay? And he's not going to, or he can't go because it's limited seating or whatnot. So therefore, what he does is he davens at home. So when it comes to shachris and musaf, he should try and daven bidyuk exactly at the time that the shul is going to daven that shmona esrei, that amidah. Let me say that again. He should try and daven at the same time, almost parallel. I'm just talking about the shmona esrei. At the exact same time that the shul, get the schedule that the shul is planning to follow. And when it says over there, shachris starts at, shachris meaning the amidah of shachris, starts at, say, 9 o'clock. So then you do it at 9 o'clock. Okay? And if, and by musaf, the same thing. When it comes, now there's one other point. And that is where we have a very interesting halacha when it comes to musaf on Rosh Hashanah. So you have to pay careful attention. It says, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah that Hashem judges in the first 3 hours of the day. Meaning the first 3 hours of the day from sunrise are very judgment based. That's the time when Hashem almost sits on his throne, if I can call it, of judgment. Now if you're with a minion, that's okay, as we said, because then you've got the merits together with the minion. Well, the problem is that if you're davening alone, okay, so then you don't really have the merits of the minyan unless you're davening with them. So if you're not davening, meaning if you're not davening parallel to them. So therefore, either you should try and daven parallel to the minyan of your shul, or you should daven after the first three hours, which is, let's say, after 10 o'clock, because it's a time of stricter judgment in the first 3 hours, and we don't want strict judgment, we want lighter judgment. So those are really your four things. Number one, say brochas as usual that you can find at the beginning of every shachris service. Number two, say the Shema with a commitment to Hashem. Number three is shachris to be done at the same time that the shul would be doing it, and musaf to be done either at the same time the shul is doing it or after 3 hours, since sunrise.
Okay, so now that's for Rosh Hashanah, and those are the 2 days. What do you do about when you're praying for the departed, and that's the time of when you have parents who passed or whatever it is.
Right. So look, on Yom Kippur we do Yizkor.
Yes.
And so on Yom Kippur, if a person's not at shul, he can still do Yizkor. There's nothing wrong with doing Yizkor at home. And so therefore there's no problem. Obviously people would want to say Kaddish, but, again, this is, you know, it's, you know, one of the things in Yiddishkeit is you have to know more in order to understand how to prioritize one thing over another. So if a person is going to drive to shul on Yom Kippur in order to say Kaddish for a lost parent, he's not doing too much, even though he wants to do good for his parent, but the emes is that it would be better if he stayed at home and not said Kaddish. Because keeping Yom Kippur and keeping Shabbos, right, is much more important to Hashem than saying Kaddish. So even though it doesn't sound right, it doesn't feel right, but the reality is that if you're doing what Hashem says, and Hashem says that Shabbos and Yom Kippur is more of a priority than saying Kaddish, then you're doing the right thing by doing it. So if you're at home and you're not going to say Kaddish, it's not the end of the world because you're doing what Hashem says. The rest of the tefillos are basically normal. The two halachas I just need to sort of mention. The one is that Ba'adon Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, if you're going to daven Musaf, you have to daven the whole Musaf. What I mean is you can't do half of it. You have to do the whole of it. It doesn't matter if you do it in the English. Tefillah, davening you're allowed to do in English. If you can do it in Hebrew, it's better. But if you do it in English, it's also fine. Someone who can't do it in Hebrew can do it in English, but you must do all of them. You can't do half. You can't cut out. I'm just talking about the Shmona Esrei. Just talking about the Amidah.
Yes.
That's the first point. And then, Stan, we haven't spoken about the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah.
Yes. Well, okay. So I believe that a synonym on Sunday it's not going to be a problem. On Shabbos, obviously, it is. They are going to have some way of zooming into being able to, straight after on Sunday evening, I think they're going to blow the shofar a few minutes after. And certainly I think they're going to try and do that on Yom Kippur after the end, which apparently they can do. But, people in the area have been blowing the shofar. So, you know, let's talk about that. What you can do, what you can't do. Should you be at shul?
Right.
Where would you listen to it, etc.?
So again, this is an interesting principle that I'm saying to you is that when you've got different priorities clashing, so you need to know more in order to resolve which one is going to be the more important priority. So if you've got an option of listening to a shofar as opposed to going, somehow going to a shul that doesn't have a shofar, I'm just giving you an interesting halacha. It's not going to be relevant. It's not so practical because almost every shul is going to have a shofar. But just to understand, the mitzvah of shofar is more important than going to shul. Right? If you've got one or other of the options, you should chap shofar, even on the second day. So shofar is an important mitzvah, okay? And if you can get someone, if you're going to shul, so of course they're going to blow in the shul. If you're not going to shul, so then the best is if you can get someone to come to you, in a halachically correct way. You know, just walk into you and blow for you. I've actually put out a book, a very small, 30-page book this year on the halachas of listening to and blowing the shofar. So if anybody wants it, they should either email me or they can actually go. I've got a website now, which you can just contact me on the website. The website is toracoach.net, toracoach.net. It's T-O-R-A-H. Coach, right? You know how to spell coach, C-O-A-C-H .net. So you could send me a message there or you can email me Danny Brody, that's D-A-N-N-Y-B-R-A-U-D-E @gmail. For a copy of it, it's free. I did it, Davka, this year to help people because I knew that there were going to be private blowings and so forth. So if you can get someone to blow for you, on the second day, that would be amazing and a wonderful thing. If you can't, that was the rotzon, that's what Hashem allowed to happen this year. It's a weird year.
Yes, so I think a lot of people are making arrangements, some in the street, some outside, some via Zoom, etc. Whether Zoom qualifies, I don't know. But there are going to be arrangements made. I think everybody wants to hear the shofar. It's a primary objective of most people here.
Yeah, well, look, it is a big mitzvah. This year it's only on the second day, so it's rabbinic. So it's slightly lighter. Yeah, I'm not sure about Zoom. I'm not sure how Zoom would work, without having gone into it too much. I don't think that, blowing shofar through Zoom is going to be, it might be a nice thing to do, but it might be halachically questionable, firstly. And secondly, I certainly don't think that you've, performed the mitzvah by listening to it through Zoom. There's a shaila of a hearing aid, before you even get to a computer and a Zoom, there's already a shaila of a hearing aid. Does a person have to take his hearing aid out in order to hear the shofar, even if it's going to be a very light, you know, noise that comes into his ear? So that's just with regards to Zoom. But the point is that if you can find someone that's going to bring it to you, that would be ideal. That would be amazing. If anybody wants a copy of that booklet, both blowers, because I especially made it because there's more gaboyim this year, because there's more minyonim, smaller minyonim, private minyonim, and also private blowing. If you want a copy of it, you should just go to my website, torahcoach.net, and send me a message from there, and I'll be able to send it to you once I get that message.
So the Torah coach is Rabbi Daniel Brody, lives in Israel, in Jerusalem, and he has he's written a number of books, most famously Learn Shabbos on 3 Minutes a Day. He's now brought out a small publication for playing the shofar. It doesn't come with a free shofar, does it?
No.
And you can't fold it up into the shape of a shofar either. It just comes and it's a guideline.
Yeah, it's a guideline. Yeah, it's very helpful. It just tells you what you need to know, both if you're blowing and both if you're listening. And I think a couple of hundred people have already got it so far, Baruch Hashem. So if anybody wants it from the shuls, if anybody wants it, I think it has been very helpful, Baruch Hashem.
So, okay, in the little time that we have left, just tell us a little bit about what to do on Yom Kippur if you can't go to shul. Because that's going to be hard. I mean, there's food.
Yes.
There's being at home. You know, the temptations are there. You can't do, you know, there's only so much you can do. And I suppose from a praying point of view, you can't immerse yourself in the book the whole day on your own. That's going to be tough.
Yes. So I think if a person's stuck at home for Yom Kippur, so his focus has to be less on let's say on the davening, and more on the sanctity and what Yom Kippur actually represents. Yom Kippur is basically a laundromat. It's a washing machine for our own selves. In other words, it's the day that we decide and we commit to a different life with Hashem, and He's prepared to forgive us for anything that was and restart the relationship. So you always have to have a bigger look. You know, that's what I'm trying to convey the whole program, is that look big. You know, go have a big view. How do I want to be next year? You know, so come to Rosh Hashanah and have a plan. How am I going to be bigger in Torah? How am I going to be bigger in mitzvahs? How am I going to be bigger in more refined attitudes? On Yom Kippur, it is a day where we're asking Hashem to clean us up. And so therefore you've got to daven, of course. But as I think I got a stomach bug. The day before Yom Kippur, and I couldn't go to shul on Yom Kippur. Luckily, it was a year which I wasn't a chazan. So, you can make a plan. My wife was only too happy because I think we had just had a baby, and she was happy to have me at home. But if that's what Hashem decided, that we're going to be at home this year, then that's just what he decided. You've got to make the most of it. The most important thing is fill up your mind with good objectives, with good ideas of Torah, okay, and commit to it, and take, you know, make the most of it. The emesis, if you look at the Gemara tells you that Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. There's one other day, which is on the same level. But this Yom Kippur is the happiest of the year because you're getting cleaned up. Hashem is saying we're starting afresh. It's like, you know, he's starting afresh with you. So it's a happy day. It's not a day of mourning in any sense. What it is a day of being real, of being genuine, of saying, one second, I've gone a little bit astray and I need to make Hashem my king again. And that's what you need to do on Rosh Hashanah, through Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And you got to surround yourself with the right books that express this. You know, the bottom line is whatever your mind reads, so then that goes into your heart. So you have to fill it up with things which are good.
Okay, so it's been fascinating. Rabbi Daniel Brody, author, rabbi, and somebody who really can put things in simple terms that people can understand. And thank you for coming on the show, Rabbi. It's always a pleasure. Rabbi Daniel Brody, he's an author. He's written Learn Shabbos on 3 Minutes a Day. And besides that, he's also got a book out on blowing the shofar and the meaning of the shofar. So that's also, you can get it from his website, which is,
Torahcoach.net. And that's Torah with a H. T-O-R-A-H.
Torah with an H. Torahcoach.net. And you can get it, download it, or you can get it emailed to you. I don't know if it's available in South Africa. If you send it to me at admin@hrdavid.org, I'll also send you a copy. I'll send it on to the rabbi. And we're coming to the end of the show. So what are the traditional greetings for this time of the year? By the way, the other night we were listening to one of the Zoom sessions, and the rabbi told a story about, he's an older rabbi, and a little kid came up to him and he said, Rabbi, I want to wish you Happy New Year and well over the past. So well over the past is at Yom Kippur. We forget the past and hopefully go forward with a clean slate. So what are the greetings?
The main greeting is that you should tell another person that he should be signed in for a good life immediately, right? It's true, you can say Shana Tova, but there's other greetings. You'll find them in the Machzor, that it says that you should be Tikatev v'techatem l'chayim tovim, that you should be signed in, written and signed into the Book of Life. And that's what you say to people. You can say to them through to midday already on Rosh Hashanah. After midday on Rosh Hashanah, you can say Shana Tova. You should say Shana Tova Metuka, because we don't just want a good year, but we want a sweet year. Sometimes the year is good, but we also want to see the sweetness. We want to taste the sweetness of the year. It could be a good year, but we want to feel that sweetness. So I think, but the main point is to go into Rosh Hashanah with an ambition to become bigger, right? And the way to do that is to have a plan. And to have a mentor and someone that's going to guide you, how do I become bigger by the end of the coming year? And in those three relationships, between us and Hashem, between us and other people, and between us and ourselves. So, to this end, if I can wish you, Stan, please God, a good and a happy year. And to all the listeners out there, that it should be a year, not just of physical life, for sure. It should be a year of physical life. We shouldn't have one yid that we lose this year, right? But it should also be a year which is alive. It has to be a year which is full of life. That's what we're davening for. We're davening for a year of life. And life means Torah and mitzvahs. If a person can have a year of life, then of real life, of being alive, so then he'll come into the next year. Next year's Rosh Hashanah, a whole bigger person.
So on those wise words, we're gonna wrap. But just before we wrap, the Hebrew Order of David is running its Bringing Yontov Joy program, and we've been sending out emails, spamming the public and asking them for donations. Also, clothes, if you wanted to deliver clothing, because we now have broadened our giving to those in less fortunate areas where they need clothing, shoes, whatever it is, and it has been coming into the HRD Center, which is 58 Oaklands Road, Orchards. If you deliver it there, you don't have to get out of your car. We have security. We have sanitization. And you can just walk in. You can just drive up. We'll take it out of your boot, and we'll do the rest. And you'll be doing a mitzvah, and it's the time of the year to be doing those mitzvahs. And thank you, Rabbi Daniel Brody. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And to echo the rabbi's words, a good and sweet year, and well over the fast. Thank you, and good night.